How's everyone doing today? This is another edition of Spiritual Realism, another take on it. And today is pitfall number two. And pitfall number two is self-righteousness. Now, this is another subject that's near dear to me, self-righteousness, because when you embark on your spiritual journey, and when you start to become more aware of yourself and the way your feelings and everything, and once you get a little bit of knowledge in the spiritual community, you start using the words of the spiritual community, you start learning words, you start reading, you start researching. You might, if you're a religious type, you're reading your Bible more, you're reading your Quran more, you're reading your Torah more. You just start getting more into the spirit, basically. So once you start getting in touch with your spirit, my spirituality people, they might say higher self. Once you get in touch with your higher self, God, you're the spirit. So when you start to get into that and you start to know a little bit, and you can have conversations with people and talk to them, and you know what, like the feelings that they feel, you felt it, and you're kind of just like, it feels like you're in a new world, a new life. And so you get into that for a little bit, and then what comes up, now you start to look at yourself like you're higher than people. This is why a big thing with Christianity, a big thing with Quran and the Torah is be humble. Be a humble servant. Servant is the word that you need. Jesus was a servant. Muhammad was a servant. Moses was a servant. So for my Jewish people. So what that is that keeps you, it's like a defense mechanism to self-righteousness. Because self-righteousness is a very dangerous aspect of spirituality that you will feel, and you got to check yourself on that, because self-righteousness equals pride, and pride comes before the fall. So what that means is, before you start to go downward and downhill and a dark place in your life, before you do that, you're going to be very, very prideful. You're going to be in denial is another synonym to it. And the people who are prideful are very in denial. They don't like to accept the truth because their truth is the right way. No matter, it's almost 8 billion people on this planet. And if you're self-righteous, you will be the only, if 7.5 billion people say, hey, you're doing this wrong, or you're wrong about this, you're so self-righteous that you'd be like, no, the 7.5 billion people are wrong and I'm right. So that's pride. So you're so how do you get there? So when you start to learn everything and get into like spirituality, and you start to be able to help people, actually like make people feel better, and you feel like, wow, I'm the one doing this. You feel like, okay, this person said they helped me. This person said I'm inspiring. This person said I'm this, I'm that. And then you believe yourself that you believe all of the compliments and everything goes to your head. Basically, you get a big head, and now you think like you can save the world. But you only have that power of healing because of God, because of you getting in tune with your higher self. Because once you get in the spirit, it's not you anymore. It's that the spirit is like that. Everybody has it. It's objective. Objective, that's the word I'm looking for. It's an objective thing. So that means, objective means like, it's everyone has it. Everyone has that spirit if they just shed off their attachments, like the last pitfall we did. If they get rid of their attachments and they start to get in the spirit more, read your Bible, read your Quran, read your Torah, meditate more, and then you get in touch with that spirit, everybody can get in touch with that. Everyone has love. Everyone has kindness. Everyone has gentleness. Everyone has peace. Everyone has that if they want to attain it. And that's what the spiritual journey is all about. So when you get it, so now you think that, okay, I'm helping people. I'm the one doing this. It's not really you. It's that you're saying words that people who are lost in the world need to hear. You're saying those words that's putting a light up, like they say, the light bulb turns on. Because you might be the first person who ever talked to them that way. You might be the first person who ever just listened to them. Because another thing on your spiritual journey, you start to care for people more. So now you're not just listening to them to answer them, like halfway listening just to give your opinion on it. You actually listening to them and not talking and actually letting them basically vent to you and let off some steam that they've been building up. And they finally found a person that they could talk to about the spiritual journey, or not even the spiritual journey, people lost in the world. They just finally met somebody who is listening to them and actually cares, basically. So, and that's rare. That's rare for somebody to actually listen to somebody and not want to just spew their opinion on them and say, well, you, this is this and this is that. You should think like me. That comes back to the self-righteousness. Knowing that, oh, you should do this, you should do that. So you're never wrong. Me, I like to, how God's blessed me in my life is I'm surrounded by mentors. I have a lot of mentors. I have about 5 mentors, and they keep me grounded, you know, because I'm a young person. My mentors are all older, but and your mentor should be a lot older than you, because a good mentor has experienced everything that you're going through, so they already know. Through experience, not through reading books, like through literally life. So that's a good, you should always have a mentor. If you are embarking on this journey, you should always have a mentor, because they will keep you grounded. And they say like, hey, did you think of doing this way? Or would you think of it doing that way instead of doing it this way? And that really keeps you grounded. That keeps you sane and that holds you back from self-righteousness. Because now you want to think that you are always right. And it's hard. It's hard when you actually see results. It's like when you not really getting results and yourself and you just prideful, you're just like, oh, they don't want to listen. But once you actually start getting results and start seeing and people actually saying, you're helping me, you help me. Wow. It's just once you start seeing that, you believe that it's all you. And self-righteousness is a bad thing to deal with. So let me get to my life, okay? So I started to learn things, started to do things, and just started to feel better. Because I was always depressed. You wouldn't have noticed I had depression if, you know, you were one of my close people that I deal with on a day-to-day basis. You probably wouldn't know that I was struggling with depression because, you know, depressive people, believe it or not, they know how to put on a facade of happiness. They just do. And that's one of the skills of a depressed person, which is actually helps them from not getting help. But that actually, you could just put on a facade that you're happy. So the spirit, you start to feel that peace. So now in my life, I started to say like, wow, I'm helping people. So I'm thinking that now I'm like, I don't even want to be. If you're not thinking the way I'm thinking, I shouldn't even be around you. Or if you're not thinking the way I'm thinking, or if you don't think I'm right, I don't need no advice from you. You wouldn't even be able to advance. They say once you, I think Buddha said, a person who says they know everything knows nothing. But a person who knows they know nothing is a possibility of learning more, of learning. So once you say you know everything, you can't even advance your learning no more. You stifle yourself right there, whatever level you're at. And trust me, there's more levels. There's pastors, there's sheikhs, there's other, the sheikhs that are, once again, that's a Muslim term for like preacher. There's pastors, there's people in the spiritual community who still have more levels to go. They're not perfect. And if anybody, any spiritual leader tell you they're perfect, run away from them, because it's a lie. We're not, no one is. So you have that in you. So it's like, if you think you know everything, you can't advance. And then why is it they say, why do they say pride comes before the fall? Because now you're so prideful of the knowledge that you obtained that you don't think you don't need to learn anymore, and there's always stuff to learn, and then you go down a dark path, you slip back into whatever vice you had in your life, you kind of slip back into that, maybe even harder. Some people go, it goes even harder. It's more severe. So the pride comes before the fall. So you're going to be so prideful and self-righteous that you don't even see your own demise, you know? So it's like, I have to, in my life, I'm like, all right, cool. So maybe I am on the right path. Maybe know that I am. So it's like, what do you do when you think you're right about everything? What happens? You don't need no mentor. I wouldn't have been able to attract and, you know, put what you put out, the earth gives you back, you want to say universe or whatever, or you sow the seed, whatever you reap, you sow. So if I was prideful, I would have never met my mentors. If I wasn't able to get humbled, because certain things in my life that just completely humbled me, one of them was the death of my best friend. It completely brought me to a level where I don't know what I'm doing in life. And I got really, like, if you listen to early episodes, it got really dark for me. So that just completely humbled me. And I was like, you know what? Time is limited. You might think you'll be here tomorrow. You might think you'll be here in 10 years. You might die today. Like, I'm saying this is a possibility. Now, I don't know the ratio of the possibility, but yeah, it is. And anybody can die any day. So now you know how fragile life is. So now it's hard for you to be prideful. It's hard for you to be arrogant, to self-righteous, if people that you love are dying. Because now it's like, maybe I thought this person was going to be, I thought I knew everything. I thought this person was always going to be in my life. And obviously, things in life are not in your hands. It's in God's hands. God gave us life, and he can take it away. He breathed. You breathe every day, and you don't know how you breathe. So you're not in control of your breath. Who is? And it can stop any day. So it doesn't matter how young you are, neither. You might think, I'm young. Well, I don't. How many young people have you heard of dying? Car crashes, accidents, you know, stunts gone wrong, just doing kids stuff. How many of you heard there's people dying in? There's people dying getting shot in schools. Young kids. I told the kids I will always bring it back to them. It's people dying in schools. So even if you had a classmate, you might be out of high school now, but when you were part of a school shooting or something, which would be like horrific. I haven't dealt with that, but that's a very horrific. And there's probably a lot of students that we don't hear about that was involved in school shootings. Like, they seen their friend just get shot right in front of them, like at 13, 14, 15, 9, 10. It's trauma. That's traumatic. And we don't actually hear about the mental state of these kids after they go through this. We actually should do that. Like, I don't know. Like, the parent, you got to have some parent confirm this and give you the permission to do this, but we need to start when these school shootings happen, we need to like interview these kids, like get psychiatric help for these kids who don't have the means to do it. Because there's a lot of kids, even when in my high school, there was a lot of kids that couldn't afford their family couldn't even afford insurance and health insurance, and even if they did have health insurance, they didn't have health insurance that covered psychiatric help and psychiatric help, basically, from a professional, a therapist. Some of them don't have the means to do that. But when you go through a school shooting and that's the trauma to the kid, that should be not even on the parents. That should be state paid psychiatric help. We got to figure something out about that, because that's actually something I might start pushing for. On this podcast, I'm just going to push for psychiatric help for kids that were involved in school shootings and like literally experienced that, because we can't leave that evaluated. Basically, we can't leave that unchecked, because that can get turned bad. Now, it's trauma. You know what trauma is. This is a spiritual podcast. So if you're in your spiritual journey, one of those first terms you hear is like releasing trauma and trauma in your life. And this is why you were the way you were. So we know how bad trauma is. So that can damage a child. So it's hard, going back to the point, it's hard to be self-righteous and prideful and arrogant when people are dying around you. So that's what knocked me back to my humbleness. And that my best friend dying, now that I look at it, and you got to think of the plan of God. It's not always bad. Like, even there's a Muslim saying, like, good and bad comes from Allah. God, good and bad. Good and bad is to test you. Even the Bible. The Bible, now you might not know the Bible, but I'll tell you a little story. And the Bible is from Job. It's called Job. You can look this up if you're not familiar with the Bible. And with Job, his life, he was a very righteous man, not self-righteous, because there's a difference. We'll get into that. So what's self-righteous and what's righteousness? So Job was a very self-righteous, not self-righteous. He was a very righteous man, had fair dealings. People knew they could trust him. He had integrity and everything. And then this is the biblical story. The Quran's kind of different. But essentially, he started getting, like, what you want to say, bad luck. But it wasn't bad luck. It was a test. So what Satan says, the devil, what he says to God, Job, I could get Job to curse you to your face. I could get Job to be ungrateful. I can get Job to be not righteous and curse you to your face, God. God said, have you tried my servant Job? Yeah, so the devil says, okay, if you have a hedge of protection around him. You're protecting him. That's why he is so... The only reason why he's praising you, God, basically, this is what he's saying. The only reason why he's praising you is because you're giving him good things. All if you take those good things away, he'll curse you to your face. So devil and sort of say, so God's like, okay, try it. Go ahead, do what you want to do, but just don't kill him. Don't hurt. Don't, you know, just don't think you're gonna kill him because I'm God. So he said, okay. Devil said, oh, all right. So what'd he do? He started to, Job was, he had a lot of animals, so he started to kill his animals. His animals started dying, and back in the day, the animals was like currency, money. Basically, animals and whatever you had were money. So that started going. So his money started going. He started to get sick. This is another thing. Job started to get sick. He started to get like spots on his skin, like kind of like leprosy. You can look that up if you don't know, familiar with what leprosy is, but it was like a skin disease. So see, it's okay to be sick on the inside and people can't tell you're sick. So you still could have conversations with people and connect with people. It's kind of hard when you're sick and it shows on your skin. Now people want to shy away from you. People don't even want to be around you because they think, oh my gosh, that might be contagious. So Job started losing connections. Job started losing money, friends, and then his health. His health started. He started losing health. And then, so at this point, Job's like, whoa, what's going on? But one of the famous verses in the Bible is, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Speaking about God, this is Job's prayer. All the stuff after he lost, and Job, and the devil's like, oh, he's finally going to curse God. And Job prayed and said, though you slay me, Lord, yet shall I trust you. And slay, basically, he's saying, though all these bad things are happening in my life, Lord, I still praise you because you are my creator, basically. And I'm not going to stop worshiping you, but I don't care about these earthly things. And you can tie this in to, if you're a spiritual person, you don't really read the Bible, but you know about the spirit. You can tie that into, or if you're a Buddhist, you could tie that into attachments brings suffering. Job saying, I don't care about all these materialistic things that I had that I thought was important. I will still praise you, God, because you are God. And all those years of the goodness I had all these goodness, all these good things were happening to me all my life. And now some bad things start to happen. You've been blessing me for how many years I've been living. Now I got a couple years of bad things. And now I'm going to curse you for some bad things when you've been blessing me all this time. No. So Job said, yet he slay me, yet should I trust him. So then Job is like, Job's now he's losing everything, still praising God. And then some of the things for men, this is a big thing for men, is you know how it is when your girl or your woman or your wife, when she starts questioning you, like, why is this happening? Because once she started asking questions, you know she's getting ready to leave. So she's like, why is this happening to you? Even Job's friends was like, oh, what's going on? He must have a secret sin. Basically, he must be doing something behind closed doors that we don't know. And that's why God is getting him. Little do they know. So, but now his wife actually says, what's going on? You're sick. We're losing money. Oh, why is God like, she said, he said, don't worry. God is still with us. She started laughing. His wife started laughing like, oh my, he won't get rid of this. And that's a close thing. That's a thin line. It's such a thin line between humility and trust and righteousness from self-righteousness. It's a very thin line. You can easily fall into self-righteousness and righteousness because Job was set to trust in God his whole life. So he was losing everything, still thinking God is right. People might think, why does he think that? He always thinks he's right. So you can't, that's another reason why you can't take the opinions of others. Because Job could have easily actually thought about what his wife said and started cursing God. But Job said, no, yes, I'm still praising God. Every God is good. She laughed. Then slowly, years go on, Job gets a double portion. A double portion basically means he got what he had before when God was blessing him at his peak. He had that plus double. More. So if he had, so let's say in today's term, if he had $100,000, now he has $200,000. And his friends, you know, everything's good. Like everything's good again. He got blessed. Maybe he even has more friends now or more followers for him. Like that's not scriptural. So don't quote me on that. But he got a double portion of what I don't know exactly. But, you know, whatever he had before, it's a double portion. Two times by two, whatever he had. So that I say that to say this, self-righteousness and righteousness is something we got to be careful about, you know. So let's get right back on point. So it's hard to be self-righteous. Hard to be self-righteous when people are dying around you. So the thing is, you have to stay humble. Self-righteousness is pitfall number two because it's very important. Because once you start advancing and God starts blessing you, you start getting in touch with your higher self more. Allah starts blessing you, however you want to put it, any religion, any spiritual community. Once you start feeling that, you will think you're better than people. Not in a way of like, oh, you're below me. Some people get that bad. Some people do hit that level of pride where they're like, everyone, like almost like a yuck, other people. I'm the best. You almost think there's a lot of psychiatric breakdowns when people start to think they're God. When they start to say, oh, I am God or I am Jesus or I am Allah. They start to think that because that's when pride hits a level where it's undeniable. It's like, you can't stop it. He's hit such a high level of pride that they're blind to the world. And they're even blind to how they sound. They don't even know. Like, if they listen back to how they sound, it's complete madness. So this is a dangerous thing. Self-righteousness. And I'm glad I put this episode out. I'm glad I brought this up. Because a lot of people, this is spiritual realism. And a lot of people who listen to me and listen to this podcast, and I appreciate the support. A lot of people who listen to the podcast, I want you guys to know about the pitfalls of your spiritual journey so you don't hit this level of losing your sanity over it. Because you can lose your sanity. How do you lose your sanity? One of the ways is you're all spiritual, meditating or reading the Bible, reading the Quran, but you're double-minded. That's the Bible term. And double-minded means you do one thing, you say one thing, and then you do another. You say one thing, it sounds good, sounds positive, sounds inspiring, and then you're doing a total different thing behind closed doors, or not even behind closed doors. You just might be doing a total different thing. you'll say something and then totally do what you said, the opposite of it. So you just, yeah, it gets bad. So you're double-minded. So now you can't do that, because now you're splitting your psyche. Now you're so above everybody, or I don't need anything, I don't need nothing. And now you're homeless, but you're 100% spiritual, but you're homeless. You're not helping your family. You're not helping your generation, your nephew, because you're so spiritual. You forget that caring for others is one of the heights of spirituality, is caring, gentleness, being there for others, helping others through their dark days and their hell that they live, that they're living in every day. But you're so spiritual, you're so prideful and you're so self-righteous, you're not even helping people no more. You're just helping your ego. Self-righteousness is the ego disguised. That's what it is. The ego, a bluffed up ego disguised as self-righteousness and prideful. And I'm right. I don't care what God says. So you got to watch out for that, guys. And I'm, like I said, I'm glad that I'm making this, because people who listen to this podcast will see this on their spiritual journey. They will see this. They say, like, hey, that's what Agbor was taught. I actually experienced it. Wow. And now you feel that. And now you can humble yourself. Bring yourself back to earth. Know that you're not always right, even though you are spiritual. Know that you're not. You can always learn something more from somebody. I advise, please, I recommend, please get a mentor, someone older, a lot older than you, who's already been through what you've been through. And he can talk you through it. She can talk you through it. And that's what it is. That's how you humble yourself. So you won't be self-right. You won't fall in that pitfall and lose people who you could have helped. Now you don't even want to talk to them, or they see the self-righteousness and the pride in you. And they're like, he's a spiritual teacher, or he's trying to help people, but he's so prideful. I don't even have that much pride. That's how it is. He's so self-righteous. He doesn't never think he's wrong, or he has nothing to learn. Who wants to learn from somebody like that? So I thank God for everything that he's putting in my heart to put out, and thinking about like pitfalls and everything, because I want you guys to be tip top, a healer. That's the goal of this podcast, is to make healers be more effective. And by doing that, I'm giving you the pitfalls of the spiritual journey. So experience is what's a better teacher than knowledge? Is experience. What's a better teacher than knowing things? You can learn, you can read 100 books, but a person who actually lived it in their life can tell you a lot more than what that book can. So that's what it is. And that's my goal of this, everything with this podcast. And that's what self-righteousness is. There's nothing really to say more than this. Is just watch how you react, watch how you feel inside, watch your pride. Watch you're not always right. Watch out for that. Watch out for the arrogance. Watch out for that. Stay humble. If you're listening to spiritual realism, we're humble. I want to help you be humble. God can put that humbleness in your heart, but I want to show you and tell you and say and live humbleness. Live it. Don't say I'm humble and then won't give a homeless person a dollar when you got 100 in your pocket or whatever. That's an example. You don't have to go around giving every homeless person money. If you can, you can. If you can't, you can't. Don't overdo it. Because now you look like you're trying to, you know, but that's another story. I thank you guys for listening today. This is another episode of Spiritual Realism. Pitfall number 2, self-righteousness. Watch out for it. I thank you guys for listening. Have a great day. Pitfall number 3 will be coming out. And another thing is, once I get into the groove of it and get all the equipment that I need, then I can start interviewing people and like having interviews. And I'll be talking to people about just their spiritual journey and their spiritual life and how they deal with things and just having a conversation. So, but that's going to be down the road. But don't worry, guys, I promise. I'm going to put my heart and soul into this podcast and let God do the rest. So have a great day, everybody. Thank you.